What a strange and volatile year it's been. Oil prices are swinging wildly, there's renewed tensions in the Strait of Hormuz, and the knock-on effects are felt everywhere from supply chains to household budgets. At home, South African inflation is creeping higher, the economy continues to plod along, and the much-anticipated recovery under the Government of National Unity is yet to materialize. This all sounds very familiar, doesn't it? There's a lot to unpack here, and who better to help us understand than Adrian Pask, Chief Investment Officer at PSG Wealth. Hi, Adrian. It's great to talk to you again. Let's start with a global picture. Strip out some of the noise for us and give us your take on the current backdrop to all of this, particularly the oil volatility and the geopolitical tensions I just mentioned.
Yeah, I think the picture really is quite mixed. From a global economy perspective, it's still expanding on aggregate, but the pace is definitely slower and a lot more uneven than what we've experienced in previous years. If we look at some of the business surveys, the PMIs, it still signals towards an expansion overall, but there are definitely areas that look more vulnerable. The euro area in particular looks quite vulnerable. The US is looking better, and on China's front, it looks like things are okay, but we shouldn't be surprised if we see some stimulus in that environment. And I think also, we always talk about the US labor market because that's really such an important thing from a US consumer spending perspective, which drives so much of the global sentiment as well. But what we have seen is obviously payroll growth is smaller. It's not running at the high expectations. We've seen hiring slow. Earlier first in government hiring and now in the private sector, which is a bit more of a concern. So the economy in the US is definitely not as robust as what it was. But that said, the data is still definitely not pointing very clearly to an imminent global recession or anything of that nature. I think, you mentioned some of the volatility in the introduction, and I think that really is just evidence of the amount of uncertainty that we have seen. And we've seen it in gold prices this year being very volatile. We've seen oil prices being volatile, and we've seen currencies being volatile. And that speaks to an economy that's really dealing with a very mixed picture that seems to be evolving quite quickly. That all being said, we've seen softer oil prices, although even just this week now we've seen higher oil prices again with tensions being renewed, but at least the oil prices aren't anywhere near where they used to be earlier this year, which is a more supportive backdrop for the global economy, but for emerging markets in particular, and specifically South Africa, given that we do import quite a bit of oil.
I'm glad you mentioned that it doesn't look like we're heading into recession, but maybe just talk about the South African picture now, the macroeconomic situation, and compare that to where the global economic picture stands.
I think the South African economy story is somewhat frustrating. I think as most would be familiar, we seem to be stuck in this lull of low growth environment. The growth is still positive, but it's frustratingly low. It's definitely not strong enough to feel convincing for most households or businesses. I think the best way to probably describe it is that we're still going through a somewhat fragile recovery rather than any strong recovery. But there is still some genuine cyclical improvements that we do see in some of the data. We can see, for example, in car sales and credit extension, those things are ticking higher, and it doesn't seem, although on the ground it does feel very different, it doesn't seem like the consumer is under enormous stress from a balance sheet perspective. So if we look at disposable income, that's actually increasing, and the debt is not out of control. So that's at least positive. But I think definitely, the overall sentiment is not great. If you speak to the average South African there out there at the moment, they would suggest that we are in struggling territory, not growth territory.
What's the inflation picture for you, and what does that mean then for interest rates and ultimately, I guess, the South African consumer as we're heading in towards the second half of the year?
Yeah, I think the inflation, and with that, obviously, interest rate discussion is so interesting. But again, there's something that evolves so, so quickly. Oil price is a massive instigator in the story. So obviously, we've seen oil prices come down, and initially that looked very positive. But we still need to keep in mind that oil prices could accelerate. We've seen now more recently with tensions move higher, as I mentioned before. And also, we need to keep in mind any second round effects that come through. So, you know, it's not really very common for prices on the ground to move higher because of high input costs like oil. Typically, even if the oil price comes down, prices tend to be a little bit more sticky. So consumer prices do remain high. And I think that's really one of the risks that you do face on the inflation front. And at the same time, the Reserve Bank has signaled that they want to take a more conservative stance and stay cautious. They're not going to risk inflation. So if they deem there to be any kind of threat, they'll probably take action. And that's sort of what we've now seen in recent past. But as I mentioned, the household balance sheets do not appear under any kind of acute stress. We've seen the debt levels look relatively contained. But I think, you know, it speaks more to resilience than strength.
Is the labor market the real weak link in this picture that we've been talking about here? Is that going to be holding back, do you think, a stronger recovery?
Yeah, I think it's fair to frame it that way. The labor market is probably the clearest reason for why the economy still feels very difficult to people on the ground. You know, formal employment has come under pressure. And that matters because ultimately that's what sustains consumption and confidence in the economy and what drives growth. Even where household finances have in aggregate, you know, weak job growth limits how broad-based the improvement in the economy can really become and how tangible it becomes to people on the ground. It also explains why the economy can look acceptable in some top-down indicators, as I've mentioned, while many people still experience it as somewhat stagnant or stressful. But I think it really comes down to both jobs and investment, and those are probably the two at the center stage of the discussion that needs to drive economic growth in South Africa. If we can't create jobs and can't attract investment, that's really going to be the key detractors or hurdles for sustaining higher growth rates.
And looking ahead, what are the big domestic risks that could derail any improvement from here?
Well, I think there are few. And I think the first one is just that weak investment simply persists, which would keep growth trapped in this low growth environment. We need to attract more investment. The second is really around the labor market stresses that we've mentioned. If we can't create jobs, we can't expect consumer spending. And if we don't have consumer spending, we don't have growth. The third one would just be overall business activity that still seems quite soft. And that creates a risk that optimism about the next 6 months does not really translate into real momentum. So we do see some reason for optimism, but if it can't be backed up for actual business activity, then we might be found wanting on that front. And obviously, I think the oil price is such a big story this year. It really does expose countries that are more vulnerable. We've seen it on our trade balance. For example, things were quite close. All of a sudden, the oil price moves higher, and then all of a sudden, you run into a trade deficit. And it's things like that that can really make the difference between growing slowly or finding more negative signals in the data.
That was Adrian Pask, Chief Investment Officer at PSG Wealth. Thanks very much once again, Adrian.
Thanks, Kieran. It's been good to chat to you.